Welcome back to the In the Blues Tone podcast. My name's Shane. Dr. Rick is back.
Welcome back, mate. Oh, mate, it's great to be back. Really, really good. Missed you guys. And I got something to say.
Rick's been a certified tube snob for many years, which is probably a good thing in many ways too, but he's gone over to the dark side.
I have. I'm a cork sniffer from way back, of the worst kind as well. But I think probably over the last, few years, we've just realised that it's not only the big Gibson, Fender, Marshall, whatever can make a great guitar, and why should it be that with, amplifiers and amp captures, which is a seamless segue into my confession to you all today, that I am now well and truly on board with the digital amp capture platform, and the platform I am using is called Tonex by IK Multimedia. It just feels good to get that off my chest, and please don't unsubscribe. Not until you hear the stuff anyway, but I've been listening to stuff for decades, plugging in stuff, hooking up to see what would happen, and I really do think that this sounds great, feels good under the fingers, and I'm on board.
I think it's also worth talking about like how far the tech has come, because even up until a few years back, I don't think either of us would have really have used a lot of this sort of stuff.
No.
Outside of the studio or outside of doing any sort of recording stuff at least, but you're actually playing live using the Tonex and a cab. So
absolutely.
What's that experience like compared to maybe using a small
amp?
Yeah,
for sure. Look, I was pretty nervous, but I guess once I'd spent a bit of time with it, I thought, I don't think I'm hearing things. I don't think I'm, in some sort of delusional state. And so I turned up at this gig up in the hills here in Melbourne where, if you don't have a Marshall half stack, then you're not going to get out of there alive. So it was a high stakes game. I just took up the little Tonex one pedal and the Tonex cab, and that is it. DI'd the cab into the PA, and I was super, super happy. It was crazy.
So you positioned the amplifier just facing towards you, like a stage monitor or whatever?
Just like a monitor. It's got tilt back legs like those old Fender amps. Great. I don't know why they ever stopped doing that. It's a really good design. So, the singer's wedge was there and mine was there, and there was a little gap, stuck it in there, tilted it back. And I had just effortless musical feedback, where there's that feedback loop between your amp and the guitar, makes the strings vibrate, makes them take off, you get the harmonic, all that stuff. It's real. It wasn't – remember there was sustainer thing you could put in your guitar?
Yeah.
You could choose it was an octave or a harmonic, and it just felt so artificial. And this is just real. This is the amp talking to the guitar, and it was just great.
That was one of those things a lot of people said you could never get from this equipment.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a feedback loop that's actually musical. It would just kind of go weird if it did anything.
Definitely. Well, I mean, I remember when we talked to Phil X at GitCon in the day. Yeah. And, of course, Bon Jovi, there's no amps on stage, and his amps are all underneath the stage in an ISO cab.
Oh.
And he could not get feedback.
Yeah,
you just play a note, it would hang on and then just die.
Yeah.
And which is such a weird feeling because we love it, don't we?
Yeah, it's
fun. You and I.
Always makes me laugh when it happens.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great feeling. Santana was onto something. Remember he used to have X's on the stage where you stand there and turn this way, it would take off.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lovely feeling and you would never get that if you're on an ampless stage with in-ear monitors. So, I feel like I'm having my cake and an ear too. Yep.
So you're running the Tonex into the powered speaker or the FR
cab, your Tonex cab. Yep.
There's got to be an easier way of saying that.
Yes, you would think
FR2,
so.
FR2, X2 or something.
That's right.
FR squared. A little squared thing. Yeah, exactly.
exactly.
So you're able to get basically whatever tone you dial in almost basically to any volume, right? If you turn it up or down. Is there any difference in the...
Not really, no. Yeah. No. Yeah, it's not like obviously a valve amp that you turn it up and it starts to distort. So it's just great. And the cab having a three-band EQ means that you can just change the EQ slightly from room to room, you know, depending on, you know, if it's boomy or toppy. And you don't have to get in and change all your presets.
Yeah.
So I love that sort of functionality of it.
Cool.
And also you're not so reliant on the sound person. If they're if it's no good, then you can just turn it around and use it as an amp because it's very loud. It's 350 watts and 700 peaks. So if you need any more than that, then you are deaf.
Nice. Exactly. How does it affect the stage sound, like just from all the instruments compared with, like, you know, we're all used to having the amp behind us.
Blowing
the volume past our feet.
For sure, for sure. Look, it was just so much clearer. And again, the funny thing is, like, I'll be 60 in a couple of months. I'm the youngest person in this band. and so we're all used to playing back in the battle days. We just turn up really loud, turn it up as loud as you want. And, you know, which is fun to get your rocks off, but it's terrible for singers and a perennial struggle for sound people who just say, look, if you're that loud, I'm not going to put you through the system because you're too loud coming off the stage. It just cleaned it up. I think we were all shocked. And singer can hear, can pitch better. Wow. I can hear what the other guitarist's doing. It's just amazing. Yeah. So it was a real revelation. And just coming off stage at the end of the gig, you don't have your ears absolutely screaming. You can't hear a thing. And
yeah, that's great.
It felt good. So, no, look, I for the first hit out in a live, loud band, it was amazing. Yeah. So
how do you have your the Tonex set up for the tones that you go for? Because, you know, if you know anything about all of these processor pedals and everything that, with the captures, there's a lot to choose from. So,
oh yeah, it's crazy. Well, look, I think initially I just went crazy and and I was pulling all these things down from their tone net, which is you know, a million amp captures of everything. But then I realised what you and I have loved forever is the Fender clean tone.
Yeah,
the Fender just on the edge of breakup tone, either a deluxe reverb cranked or a super reverb cranked. That lovely sort of sound where it's really touch responsive.
Yeah.
And then like a Marshall or, you know, a Friedman or something for the sustaining lead tone.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I basically had it set up and with the Tonex One pedal, you can click through three different sounds.
Yeah.
And so for the majority of the thing, I just was playing either like a cranked Fender sound or a old non-master volume Marshall sound, which is meat and potatoes, rock and roll.
Yeah, that's great.
And then the third sound is just the over-the-top crazy solo sound.
Lots of nice.
Drive and sustain and a bit of delay and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, again, for the music we love, it's more than enough. So, yeah, that's how I had it set up, straight in.
So you're not running your like effects pedal board into this and then out at all?
No, I didn't because I guess I just wanted to hear how it sounded, but it certainly is compatible with external analog effects and digital effects as well. So, you know, if eventually I could probably envisage a situation where I might have one or two of my favorite overdrives in front of it.
Yeah.
And then again, like a delay pedal, because I will say this, the digital effects on the Tonex aren't as good as nowhere near as good as Kemper in terms of the,
The Kemper's
choices
great.
You have.
Yeah.
If I wanted to get into that, I could definitely add something afterward as well. Mm-hmm. So it is really designed to work seamlessly with whatever setup you've got. But yeah, for the first gig, I just used the Tonex. It was everything. It was the amp model, the cab, the IR, and the digital delay and reverb after that.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like I was missing anything. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I think one of the things I've sort of gotten used to using a lot of like clean amps over the years is running my pedals into it. And I was really surprised. Like I got the Vailton GP5 at the moment, which is a similar kind of tech to the Tonex. And I'm shocked how well it handles my overdrives.
Yeah.
And it cascades in terms of volume.
Yeah.
Perceivably. Like it actually doesn't just fizz out like some of the old stuff did back in the day.
Yes. Yeah.
You're getting like I can like preload a Fender twin or a deluxe or a two rock or whatever. And at the starting, clean tones, just beautiful. Or you can dial a bit of dirt in or whatever. But then I've got my familiar sound going into it with my pedal board, and it kind of responds way more similarly than I thought it was going to. And I could absolutely see me taking the GP5 to Jerry's next time when I go do all the left-handed guitar videos overseas, and then running my favorite overdrive into it and getting arguably the best sound that I could get recorded with no effort.
Yeah.
It really takes out like the fiddling. If you find that sort of great sound that you love, whether it's a great clean or a killer Marshall tone or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't really have to do much else. Yeah. It just seems to work.
Like, I think that's the amazing advance that captures have had as opposed to a modeler.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I think about Helix and Fractal as modelers.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Sorry if it's not. But, yeah.
Dr. Rick's exactly.
He's full of it. Whereas your Kemper and your quad cortex, anacortex, and Tonex are captures.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, if I've drank the Kool-Aid, so be it. But just capturing an amp and a cab, it just feels like it reacts more organically to your guitar, but also to your favorite analog effects.
Yeah.
It's got this sort of clash of digital bits and bobs. It just seems to work. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing how great like the Kemper feels to play when you're capturing a familiar sound. Yeah. Like it's got the ability to profile, whereas the Vailton GP5, I can't actually profile gear through it. I have to download other stuff to plug in the captures. But the Kemper, you know, being able to get a sound that you have in a room with an amp in a room is pretty wild. And that, you know, that came out like almost 15 years ago.
Unbelievable.
It's so ahead of its time. Yeah. You know, they just released a new one, which is essentially the same thing with some like a new CPU. So you can stack in more stuff in the effects chain.
Mm.
I'm like, the whole, at least for me anyway, the beauty of the Kemper is like the fact that it can do that extremely well. And I've got the sound of my gear.
Yeah.
And even if you can't get the exact amp you want, you can find one that, or, you know, you can't profile your gear through some of this stuff like the Tonex directly. I mean, you can do it in other ways, at least you can approximate it and then you can get a familiar sound at the end of the day. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It feels much better and less sort of fiddly than it does with like the old multi-effects processor pedals from back in the day where you were always tinkering with something, trying to get more out of it.
Never happy and having, I remember with my Helix, and again, I got rid of that because I'm just not a sophisticated tech person, and I was seeing that, some people run this separate parallel path and have a high pass there, and, forget about it, man. I reckon you and I will know within playing a couple of chords or a couple of notes, is that right?
Yeah.
And if it's not right, get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know what it sounds like, you know how it will respond, how if you hit it hard, it'll compress naturally, and if you hit it soft, it purrs. So, I think the fact that, you plug pedals in and it sounds like is a real testament to how advanced this capture stuff has come.
Yeah, it's a whole different game now compared to like 10 years ago or so, with the exception of maybe the Kemper. There's so much great stuff that makes recording easy. And I would use this. I think even recording artists could benefit from any of this stuff. Like you get consistent tones on every track.
Oh, yeah.
There's no need to bring in the big amps and have to have soundproofing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like we recorded an album using the Joyo American sound pedal and the AC tone, I think it was called as well, Vox one. And, you know, and that worked. And no one ever said, oh, man, the guitar tones suck.
Yeah.
And it just does it all. And I think the thing I've noticed, especially with the new profiling and captures, that doesn't have the same sort of, you know, everyone used to complain about the shrilly tops or there's not enough low quality kind of low end or mids. It's not the case when you're working with a capture of a real amp. It's a completely different thing.
Yeah, exactly.
There's still a stigma attached to the old days of some of this stuff, which was probably nowhere near as good as it is now.
No, exactly. Look, I think if you capture a great sounding amp and a great sounding cab with a few really good mics,
yeah,
it just feels like that experience. I mean, yeah, we've been plugging into loud valve amps for decades now.
Yeah.
So you know it when you hear it. You know, it might be hard to describe, but you definitely know when you hear it, when it's right, and also when it's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. The easiest recordings I've done in the studio for backing tracks and all that have been when I can plug a unit like the GP5 in, and it just, like, I've got the sound I want.
Yeah.
And it's so easy. Like,
yeah.
One cable.
Yeah,
done.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Just, it's all about the workflow, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And just being happy with that sound, and then you can think about other things. I've really have gone down this rabbit hole, but I'm happy to be here. I'm having the most fun I've had in ages, to tell the truth. Yep.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I think it's also worth talking about the fact that a lot of this stuff isn't anywhere near as expensive as it used to be to get into it. You know, the difference between the Kemper, obviously it can do things that some of these other ones can't do, and vice versa.
Yeah.
But you can get essentially the same end result.
Mm.
Different workflow, different options, different, you know, this and that. But
yeah,
if you got a Fender Twin on either of them, I'm tipping they're going to sound very similar.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be sort of fun, I guess, to do a A-B test. And
we should do a blind test.
Yeah, true. Because I just watched a great video from Dweezil Zappa, you know, Frank Zappa's son, who's a great guitar player. And he played Eruption through... Let me get it right. I think it was Fractal.
Okay.
Could be Kemper. Anyway, and also through a Marshall JCM-900.
Mm-hmm.
Put it up on his socials, got people to vote. And I think it came in, I thought it was 50-50, but it might be 60-40, people who got it right and wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, and you can hear people banging on about, oh, yeah, you can tell that's the Marshall because it's got this girth and this... punch in. It's the digital. So it just shows you, guitarists, we're full of it. And it sounds, the stuff sounds great and it feels great.
Yeah. And especially I think for people getting into home studio recording,
yeah,
it's so much easier now than, like, it's a good skill to be able to get a great sound out of an amp, mic it up and do all that kind of stuff, but you got to get a good mic. You've got to understand placement. You've got to get the amp to sound good in the room before you even hit record.
Yeah.
And make it all work and be able to hear what you're playing back to while you're rocking out.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more that goes into that than being able to just plug in and have your studio monitors at a certain level and go, that's a great tone. That's better than I'd be able to do without spending a whole lot of time messing around. I've produced albums for people and I record daily, but it makes it so easy just to go clunk, done.
Yeah,
and it feels good. Like, if it didn't feel good, I wouldn't use it. I'm assuming you wouldn't use it either.
No, absolutely. I've felt like I risked my life doing this. But, it was so rewarding and it's just fun.
Yeah.
And it's musical. We all want to sound great. And the only people who care about how we sound is us usually.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nice to make great musical sounds.
Yeah.
It inspires you. And, that's why we do it, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You know, I've been using this type of tech in the studio to make life easier, whether that's the Two Notes Capital X that replaces the speaker, gives you a microphone and a room, but you're using the front end of your amp, but you're sort of taking this to the next level. Now you're actually gigging with this stuff as opposed to using like a comparable small amp.
So yes. Yeah.
Talk about maybe the difference in terms of like what, or just why you would pick the new tech over just bringing an amp to a room. Because I don't know if I'm completely on board with ditching a small sort of amp right now, but
I
might be open to ditching larger amps.
I think so, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously small amps, you can die if you've got a loud drummer. You know, you're just not going to be able to hear it. And that's happened to me with a beautiful Princeton that I used to have. Beautiful sounding amp.
That was great.
But it really is taking a knife to a gunfight. I guess with this, the Tony's cab is 350 watts RMS.
Yeah, cool.
And 700 watts peak. It is as loud as a banshee. It's crazy. So I think that takes away the fear that I'm just going to be overpowered here.
Yeah.
So you can monitor yourself well, hear yourself well, get plenty of sustain and musical feedback. To be completely honest, at this point in time, I just don't think I'm missing out on anything.
Yeah,
I really,
okay,
really don't. And who knows? It might come a time where I'll say, hey, I do miss that, but not at the moment. I'm hearing the tones I want to hear. The guitar's responding the way
yeah,
I
want great. It
to, and I just got to play.
What if you were playing in a small room, though, where the PA system kind of sucks? Could you just use it facing the audience? And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, that's the secret sauce in the Tonex cab is this this amp control where when it's all the way counterclockwise off, it's just the DI'd sound.
Yeah.
So it's fairly pristine and hi-fi. But the more you turn up this amp sound, the more it takes on that feeling of the amp in the room, you know, that thump that you have to feel.
Yeah, yeah.
If it feels all sort of vanilla, just like a PA speaker, it's not going to be as enjoyable.
Yeah.
But as you turn it up, to my ears anyway, I hear that the mids getting poked up nicely and the sort of tops, around 6K or whatever, getting just wound off a bit.
Yeah, great.
So it's just that nice sort of mid sound where guitars live. And so, yeah, I think at this stage, and I haven't done a gig where it's just standalone, but I can't imagine that I'd be thinking, oh, gee, I can't hear myself because it is hellaciously loud.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's a...
so the power's not a problem. And
no.
I don't know if we mentioned this already. I guess, like, starting with it at 9 o'clock versus 12 o'clock, the tone's not going to shift like it would on a tube amp.
No.
Right? It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So, literally, when I did the gig, the drummer was just playing time and I just turned the amp to where I could hear it just along the drums. I actually wanted to drown him out a little bit because that's the nature of guitarists. But
you always got to kind of
just a little bit
over him.
Yeah. I would say just play time like you'd normally play, and then. It was. This is a loud gig I play, and the volume was 9 o'clock. Crazy.
Yeah.
So I knew I had a whole lot, and my dear friend, our mutual friend Marcel Yumini, who is my gateway drug to this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he plays loud, and I know when I went over to his place and we tried it out, I didn't tell him at the time, but when I was doing this, that threshold of pain for me was loud.
Oh, wow.
It was loud, clean.
Is it like harmonica loud through a massive amp, kind of loud?
No, it's nowhere near as offensive as
sorry,
that.
Sorry, Hart, please. Not sorry.
Not really.
Yeah.
It certainly, I wouldn't have any issue with it not being loud enough.
Yeah.
I do this corporate gig once a year at a big room at the MCG, and I'm going to use this setup.
Yeah, great.
I'm going to use it. It's going to be absolutely perfect for what I need to do. I mean, we don't play top 40 stuff. I don't need to go from, you know, U2 to Metallica to Nirvana to reggae, ska, whatever. It's again those basic tones: Glenn Fender, Edge Fender, Marshall, and you know a novelty thing or whatever.
Yeah, that's cool.
But that's it. You know, that's. It's what we're going for.
Yeah, nice. Was the setup process overwhelming? Because these things sometimes have way too many.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I know when I get onto the. I hardly ever get onto the Kemper's, whatever their app's called anymore.
Oh.
A Kemper. I can't remember what it's. Rig Manager. Because it loads like 35,000.
Yep.
Other people's tones.
Yeah.
And
for
me, it's like, oh yes. No. Not all of them are great, but some of them are.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for a particular sound for a cover band, it might be a good place to sort of load things in for them. But, I sort of just tried to keep that whole process as simple as I could for me. Like I want my sound or as close to it as I can get, and that's it. I might throw a delay on from time to time. But are you finding yourself kind of like diving through menus to get it to work, or you kind of settled on a few sounds?
Yeah, look, I think initially when I got it and – and the software that comes with the Tonex Max software, I was like a kid in a candy shop. There's 35,000 tone models in there. But what I sort of realized is that just like so many of these digital things, they come loaded with ridiculous presets that all they want to do is demonstrate, look what we can do.
Yeah.
So they're overly saturated, way distorted, too much bottom end, shrill tops, sucked out mids, the typical instant gratification sound. and too, you know, delays, ridiculous, reverb like, you know, a train station. So I guess I just realised that there are captures and then there are proper captures. So, and look, most of the Tonex ones I found were too overcooked for what we do. Again, if you're having to do all sorts of modern music, you might need that sort of crap, but not for us. So I actually went and purchased some capture packs from our friend Tone Junkie.
He's
great. Awesome.
Yeah, he's a great player, that's it.
And I wish we had a coffee cup that we could sort of
Mike right in the right here.
That's Big right. Mike. Hear the sound. But no, he's awesome. And he's got great ears and he's a really good player too. Man, he's a great player.
Yeah.
Super tasty.
I love his loop jams.
They're great. Really
that kind
good.
Of inspired me to do some on my channel. I was like, man, that's a great idea.
And it's just so simple.
Yeah.
But his tones are great. So I bought a couple of his packs, couple of packs from the Studio Rats.
Cool.
And I chatted online with Paul from Studio Rats, who's an awesome guitar player. He's very aware of you too, which is cool.
I don't think I've actually ever spoken to him. I've watched his videos, but I don't tend to like consume a lot of guitar content because I'm always making stuff these days. But I know who he is. He's great.
If you watched him a lot, then you end up buying too many guitars. He's always got new guitars. he's living our dream.
Yeah, wow. Must have a lot of space.
Yeah, I think so. Well, true. I don't know where he puts. I know he flips them, but so I bought some from Studio Rats, and from a worship guitar player called it's called Sunday Tones, and he's made some great and free captures, which is so
nice,
so generous. So captures of an old AC30 and an old deluxe reverb. And, I mean, just with those alone, I've got more than enough forever.
Yeah, cool.
And they sound really good. So, I think I've stopped searching through ToneNet 35,000 whatever, because I'll see something that on paper, oh, great, you know, it's a 2S808 into a 64C reverb, and it's... Sorry, I know you probably loved it when you made it, but it sounded dreadful. So, you've got to know what you're doing with these capture things and have proper mics and a good studio and a good sounding room, etc.
Yeah, that learning curve is its own thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The first time I profiled amps with the Kemper, I was like, it's okay.
Mm.
And then I sold it. And then I realized, I needed to spend more time not only refining those profiles, but also mic placement, mixing mics, all these things that I didn't put as much time and thought into at the first time I tried it. And then so those profiles don't exist anymore, I hope. But now, like knowing what I know about all that stuff now, I'm able to get much better results, way more accurate results, feels good to play. It's got all the stuff you want to hear, at least through my studio monitors anyway.
Because how did you get that knowledge though? I mean, do you have to search far and wide to find out how to do it?
I make a lot of poor assumptions that I know how everything works without really looking into it.
Ah.
Because I've got a tech background. I think I'm good with stuff, even when I'm not. And the Kemper was a great example of that. I didn't spend time. Yeah, some people think it's so easy you don't need a manual, but I think some of the menus are a little too confusing.
Yeah.
The refined profile thing was something that I completely missed.
Yeah.
And once I started using more mics in the studio combined and on their own, I got a better appreciation of the voicings of them and started pairing them through a mixer, profiling that way. So I got a ribbon mic and a 57, a 57 and an E906 and the whatever the other one is that I've got, the dynamic microphone, it's a German brand, Austrian Audio microphone, OD5. So I've got all these great combinations, and when I've got a lot to choose from now. Yeah. It comes from having a better ear, but also understanding how to do it. And if you just hook things up thinking you're going to get good results, it's not the case. You've really got to dial them in right, do the process completely, and be, I sort of you know, selling it and then realizing I'd missed some steps. I think I saw it on another video. It's like, oh, did you refine the profiles? Like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. Yeah. So I looked it up. It's like, oh, I didn't do any of that.
Well, it's a bit of a male thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Manual.
Yeah.
It's like when I put together IKEA stuff. Always end up with about 50 extra screws.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. And then people put their books in the shelf. That's the beauty of, I guess, just doing it right. And because I can't do it, I rely on these other people to do it. And it hasn't been exorbitantly expensive either to get really high quality things. And what I need to stop doing now is keep looking, because I think I must have not clicked the unsubscribe from Tone Junkie, so I'll get an email every week saying, just got a new pack, and I'm thinking, stop, don't, you've got to stop. You've got a million of them. You'll never be able to get through.
Yeah.
It's not a king's ransom, and it's really good quality sound. So
I think you'll probably settle on a few tones and you'll probably be done.
I think so.
Or you'll play clean off clean and use your pedal board for certain
absolutely gigs. For sure.
Again, for folks who haven't tried that, you're assuming like it feels and responds the same as it did back in the day. I love the fact I can click on multiple drives and it gets louder and more dirty without really affecting the tone like it used to. It's crazy.
It really does respond like an amp.
Yeah.
That dynamics that I think is only coming since this capture stuff has come in.
Yeah.
It just makes a huge difference. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I haven't used the Tone X before. So if you want to can you capture tones through a secondary?
So you need the Tone X comes in this, the Tone X one, which is the little one I've got. Yeah. But also there's a big sort of the big Tone X pedal, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
And you can make captures through that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool, absolutely. Cool. So I've seen the little guy. I just haven't used it. So I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Yeah,
we'll compare it up against the little Vailton one. I've got the GP5.
Yeah, that could be awesome and embarrassing. But
it's just the way things go. I mean, I'm sure yours does a whole bunch of stuff this one doesn't do. And
vice versa. Yeah, but look, at the end of the day, it is about the quality of the sounds and just that user experience where it just produces what you want to do, and then you stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
I'm always thinking about stuff, and it's funny, you know, when you see video yourself and you're crouching down fiddling with your pedal board, I just think, that's not cool. Just wish I could just play and be in that sort of zone and not thinking, I wanted to turn down the feedbacks on the delays or whatever.
And that kind of makes sense because you're getting a consistent sound every time without the complication of using anything externally. Like just moving things in a car in a gig bag can change your controls on pedals.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's happened to me a whole bunch of times.
Yeah, for sure. And you think, oh, I didn't realise that the feedback on the delay was maximum. So it's just... definitely it's... It's liberating in that regard. Yeah, for sure.
I think everyone will have to let us know what they think of this. Isn't an April Fool's joke, is it? This video. Think of Rick's conversion over.
No, it's not. And yeah, I have been an avowed valve or tube, as our American friends call it, forever. Yeah. I'm really happy.
Yeah, that's great.
Happy, which is, I still have to pinch myself. Think, do I do that? But, I do, and people still ring up and say, hey, do you want to come and play? So hopefully it means it doesn't suck.
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to ask this or not, but you had a Strymon Iridium, which I took to Jerry's Lefty Guitars a couple of years back.
Yep.
And that was used for all the jam tracks with a couple of pedals that I had, and it was great.
Yep.
What's the difference between that sort of unit, which gives you three tones and a couple of different cabs and like a sort of weird reverb.
Yes, a room sound.
Room sound,
yeah.
Versus, like, what do you prefer one over the other in terms of sound well, now?
I guess the proof of the pudding is that I no longer own an Iridium.
Ooh.
A very nice gentleman came and took that off my hands this week. Look, the Iridium is great.
Yeah.
And it's... I've seen, quite a few videos where people will put it against the latest new kid on the block, as it were.
Yeah.
And it does what it does really well because it it knows, it just knows its limitations and works within them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a, you know, a 65 Deluxe Reverb. What a great sound.
Yeah, it was awesome.
A Vox AC30 and a non-master volume Marshall, I think.
Yeah.
So it does it really well. Yeah, you can adjust the, obviously, the gain and the...
Yeah, the tangible controls are pretty handy there.
Very,
yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
No scrolling, no nothing. And just pick which I... You've got three IRs per amp. It's hard to get into trouble with. It's great. It's just... guitarists, we just want more. So look, it's where I use the Iridium for a few things.
Coming from a guy who played a Tweed amp with no controls other than volume on it for like 3 years.
That's right, exactly. And a Klon.
Yeah, well, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. You're right, though.
True,
more having the option for more is good, but it can also be overwhelming, I think, for people who are new to using gear.
Exactly. I think... it's taken me, you know, quite a few weeks to get my head around it, and now I've sort of got over the initial euphoria of all these options.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I can just drill down on what sounds great, what am I looking for.
Yeah.
And like when I use the Iridium, I'd have an overdrive or two and a chorusy thing and then a delay. So it was like a four-pedal pedal board.
Yeah.
And it's awesome, but now it's all just...
Yeah.
Miniaturized into this, and like I can imagine the scenario where I'll always have the Tonex in my bag because you can turn off the cab sim if you want. You can really use it as a stomp box.
Oh, great, cool.
So I just figure it's a great backup as well.
Yeah,
but no, I'm really happy with everything loaded into it. The amp, the cab, the digital effects. You can place the compressor before the amp for that mm-hmm. proper compressor sound. So yeah, I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, that's great. Speaking of backup too, the Vailton GP5 is like $80, right? And it's got a tuner built in there and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah.
So you can use it like as a tuner if you want.
Yeah,
but you can also have it as like a backup amp because we've done gigs where a fuse has gone, there's dodgy stuff. You got to get the tinfoil out and put it around the thing, put it back in, and then you got your amp back, right?
Yeah.
It's a shocking way to do it, but. Like having this as a backup option where I can still run my pedal board into it is great. It's going to live in the car.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Just anytime I go to these certain gigs or whatever, just having something that you know you can still use all your stuff with is great.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we could become like our friend Carlin, who, you know, the clip-on headstock tuners. And he's going, left it in the other. I think he just bought 10 of them and he just has them everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
Any guitar case, he'll have it.
Yeah.
Open the glove box, there's five. And I mean, it's chump change, isn't it, to get that? It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. I don't think I've tested a unit. I mean, I haven't tested everything, but out of all the stuff I've tested, I don't think I've tested anything that's that inexpensive that does so much well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably going to be, at least in with the stuff I've reviewed this year, it'll be one of the best products of the year, if not the best.
Yeah,
based on value and performance. And
exactly. There's lots of good noise
unbelievable.
About it.
Unbelievable.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I know how they do it. I guess the only thing, and it's the same with all this new gear, is we just got to work out the longevity of it, how it goes and whatnot. But
Everyone always says, you can't repair this or that. You know, you can repair an old tube amp. Absolutely. But now these things have gotten so much less expensive that...
Yeah.
Sucks that if you can't fix it, of course, but.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
It's such great value now.
No,
it's crazy.
I have seriously thought about should I just buy a couple of these as backups? Because I am putting all my eggs in one basket, but it's a great sounding, very functionally easy to use basket. So it works well for me.
That's good.
So.
And once you know something like, why do you want to switch and try a different one? If
it
works and it does all that and you understand how to operate it and get the most out of it, that's all that matters.
I think so. I could never envisage a time where I would have multiple different platforms of this stuff because I just don't have the bandwidth in my brain to do it and I don't see the need to do it as well. If it sounds good, then, let's just play.
We
don't want to sit there and scroll and figure around.
You touched on something before. You said you could use the Tonex as a stomp box on its own, right?
Mm.
So you could run multiple. It's probably being done on YouTube. I don't know, but you could probably run one as like a overdrive distortion boost pedal into another one with.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Absolutely.
That's
pretty wild. Because they'll have high quality captures of we'll just get out of the way, Clon. you know, TS-808s, TS-9s, TS-10s, TS-5s, yep. fuzz boxes, everything. So, yeah, and you could store, if you wanted, you could have just a dedicated Tonex with 20 of your favourite stomps in it.
Yeah,
and
wow, just, cool, man. You know,
scroll through them on the pedal. So, yeah, that's the beauty of it. You can turn off the cab sim and just have it running into a normal amp. I haven't done that yet, but, yeah, it's certainly part of the capability.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Mm.
So you're a changed man, mate.
I am, and I keep thinking
he's
I'll wake up one
morning. He's already lost 50% of his friend group.
Exactly. Oh, for sure. But I just don't care.
No.
I don't care.
I don't care either
anymore.
If
it sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that best tool for the job and what gives you the most amount of enjoyment.
Yeah.
It's like any industry. It could be cameras. You want a GoPro. It's great for throwing in the ocean.
Yep.
You want a good camera. You get one like this or that one or whatever.
Exactly.
And you use it for different things. And it's great. Things are getting more accessible. And I just love the fact that, you know, well, I don't love the fact, but certain items are $2,000 Australian. You can now get some stuff for like $300 or less that will give you basically the same or indistinguishable results. So I think that's great for anyone who wants to do like home studio recording.
Mm.
Get a backup amplifier, use it live if you want to buy the full range speaker thing.
Yep.
Is that what it's called? Flat range?
Full range flat response. FR.
With the two.
FR squared.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, that's great. Yeah. Well done, mate. I'm shocked. I'm shocked, but I'm also.
You know, folks, I'll tell you now, he hasn't actually heard it. So it could be that. You'll say, what are you on about? But I don't think so. I hope not. Anyway, we'll just see. The proof of the pudding is definitely in the eating. But
as long as it's better than your old Fender Mustang GT that sounded like the speakers were out of phase, mate, we're good to go.
Yeah. I don't know why I ever thought that thing sounded okay. And I did sit there and futz with it forever and have these bizarre EQ curves, which is the sort of opposite of everyone, where sort of with the big peak in the mids. And, and it just sounded terrible. It's, you can't make chicken soup out of chicken shit.
Yeah. I always try to express in videos, like if you're a live player, this is good or it isn't good. Like that's, you know, the difference between playing something at home where it might sound fantastic and it works and then you take it out and someone else is using any other amplifier next to it and all of a sudden you're like, what's going on?
I'm dying here. For sure. It's for sure. If you never get out of your bedroom, probably a lot of these earlier things, they'll be fine.
Yeah,
give you all that buzz you want. But when you're playing on a live stage with another guitarist and a loud drummer and a bass player, it's death or glory.
Yeah, it sounds like that powered speaker gives you the same kind of feel and vibe. So I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Oh, no, for sure. Look, I think the neighbours will definitely know something's going on.
That's great. We should actually try to record it at different volumes.
Yeah, definitely.
Like we'll do one at a low volume, something that at reasonable in the room, and then crank it up.
Well, I guess that's the challenge with FR-FR that they're hard to sort of mic up because you don't want to put a close mic on it because you miss out on the horn.
I didn't even think about that.
Maybe
a room mic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think so, just capturing what we would hear.
Yeah.
It's a bit like remember those Wozzercraft headphones?
Yeah.
I'd see these dudes making a video with a – I don't know how they did it with a mic and they just sort of put the...
Yeah, that's how I did mine too, with a stereo condenser microphone.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, I only had one of those, so I was super lucky that it kind of worked.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's... can you still get them?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even think I really recommended it in the video. I found that gyro sensor thing too. It was almost distracting.
Yes.
I know what they were going for and it's a cool idea and some people probably love it, but I liked it just hearing it with it off because every time you'd micro move or whatever, it would change the sound.
Because it was meant to simulate that your amp's there, but if you turn, it'll feel like...
Yeah, you get more in one side.
Yeah,
but when you're playing with an amp behind you, it kind of fills this... It doesn't sort of give you that split stereo thing look quite like that?
No, it just does this.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, okay. But, yeah, so anyway, we'll have a think about how best to capture an FR thing in the room. So it's hearing what we hear.
Yeah. Mm. I got a few large diaphragm condensers that might do a good job at that. Mm. So, yeah, absolutely. We'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
All right, well, welcome back to the channel, Rick. Thanks for the podcast, mate. This is take number two for those who are watching. We had to do this again, so that's always fun.
No, it's fine.
This idiot forgot to hit record on something that we needed, and that's how we do it.
That's fine.
So thanks for your patience, mate. And
relax.
Yeah, if you want to listen to the audio version of this, if you're not already doing so, I'll link it down below. There's iTunes and Spotify links and all that kind of stuff. So
Rouse, okay.
Let's go make some noise.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, cheers, mate. Thanks.